Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
In the Ham Shack. My name is Richard, KB5JBV, and welcome to our show. Let me introduce to you that ultra-talented, slightly intoxicated, man-about-town, Russ, K5TUX. Say hello, Russ.
Hello, Russ, and everybody else. Welcome to the show, episode number 57 of Linux in the Ham Shack. And we do have a great one for everybody tonight. Sorry, things have been so crazy with getting the releases out. I'm working on that. I really am. There was kind of a cluster badger with the last one where I didn't record half of my part, so that's why it's been so slow, but we're working on it. And we have a special guest in the room with us, in the audible room with us tonight, and I'm going to go ahead and let Richard introduce him.
Oh, you're going to make me do it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I was going to make you do it so that I could get away with it. No, okay. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, we have Jonathan Nadeau with us from, where is that place? Frostbite Systems, but he's not going to talk about that much. In fact, he's going to talk about it all he wants. We're just going to say he's not going to talk about it much. But his main reason for being here is to discuss with us Orca. Hello, Jonathan. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm just glad to have you here. It's, like I was telling you earlier, I have to repeat things because I just can't keep them contained. You know, I heard you on one of the shows recently and told Russ that, you know, we'd been having requests for accessibility stuff on the Linux show here, and heard you on another program, and I'm like, hey, we need to get him on over here, and I'm glad he finally got in touch with you. He's better at booking acts than I am.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
So, tear it up, Russ.
Okay, well, I won't tell you what I had to do to get Jonathan on the show, because it was so extremely involved and incredibly difficult, because he's such a busy gentleman that I think you owe me for this one.
That's why we have the secret fund.
Okay. Well, you're the one who gets all this information about Orca, and so I'm going to let you do a little bit of the interviewing this time, because when we interviewed W1HKJ, I did most of the talking. So
that's because you didn't know nothing about it.
I let you think that all the time. I'd play the dumb guy more than you know.
Well, don't be so dumb this time, because you had me studying on something else all day long.
Well, good. Then you'll be knowledgeable about that other thing when we get to it. But you know about Orca, so you can go ahead and start here, and I'll jump in a minute.
I guess I know enough. Hey, Jonathan,
besides,
I know.
Besides, Russ did all the heavy lifting. Like you said, he went through a ton of work to pin me down and catch up with me. So,
okay.
Don't laugh.
That story later.
It was so hard. It was unbelievably hard.
Okay.
I could have had Tom Cruise on here easier than it was to find him.
You're gonna throw your shoulder out.
All right.
So,
go ahead.
So, let's do this like we're semi-professional. Let's do it this way. Well, Jonathan, tell us about Orca.
All right. Well, Orca is a screen reader that is built into the GNOME desktop. And I'm not going to say all distributions that use GNOME by default, but most will already have Orca installed. And so if there's a blind GNU Linux user that sits down on a desktop that's running GNOME, like Ubuntu, Fedora, probably Mandriva, Debian. So if a blind GNU Linux user sits down at a GNOME desktop, he can hit the Alt F2 button. It'll bring up the run box. He can type in Orca, hit enter, and that is going to start the Orca screen reader. And it is quite accessible to the GNOME desktop. It works really well. And it allows you to, you can use Firefox, OpenOffice, LibreOffice. You can play your MP3 files or OGG files. You can use GPodder. You can, install software from the command line or however way you choose. It's very flexible, very usable, and I'm a huge advocate of Orca and free software for accessibility.
Well, there you go. As I said before we got started, here I go repeating myself again. We've had a lot of requests for people asking about this, and in fact, I think one person actually mentioned you by name to get you on here. But you are an Orca user. I seem to remember, and rating the readers that you can get in most of the common distributions. How does Orca stack up?
Well, I started using Orca in 07 when it was Ubuntu 7.10, Gutsy Given. And up until that point, unfortunately, I was a Windows user and I was using the JAWS screen reader. And Orca at that time, in 07, it was not comparable at that point. It worked, but it didn't work as well. It wasn't as responsive. Not everything was accessible as it is now. It was still a work in process at that point. But as far as today's standards go, once I switched over to GNU Linux 3 years ago, or almost 4 years ago now, I have completely dropped Windows and I strictly use Linux all the time, every day. I run my business off Linux. I go to school full time and I strictly use Linux and the Orca screen reader.
Well, I'm going to jump in here like real early because I have a question for you. One of many, actually. But
sure.
When it comes to Orca, as far as like once the desktop is already up and running, you know, firing up Orca and getting a screen reader is kind of, is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
But what about getting an installation going? I mean, there are some distributions. I know Arch has one distribution where it'll actually fire up a screen reader during install.
Yep.
Do you use a distribution that does that, or do you install something like Debian or whatever? And what's your experience with getting screen readers from an actual boot or install screen? Because that to me seems like it's a lot harder than getting it to fire up once once the system's already installed.
Yeah, there are basically two distros right now, and you mentioned one, Arch. There's a they call it the Talking Arch, where this guy Chris Brennan basically took the net install ISO image of Arch Linux, and all he did was he included, I don't know if he compiled his own kernel, but he basically included the speak up module, which is it's a little bit different from Orca. Orca is a screen reader that can interact with like the GUI interface and the desktop. Speak up is another, I don't want to say screen reader, but it's another like synthesizer that strictly works like within the command line. So he included the speak up kernel in the module. So when you drop the CD into the computer, it's the exact same Arch Linux installation that a sighted person would use, except speak up pops up and you can start going through the menu and installing Arch that way. But there's another distribution called Vinix, which is V-I-N-U-X, and it's based off of Ubuntu. And what these guys did is they kind of stripped out some of the inaccessible things in Ubuntu, but they also made the installation completely accessible from start to finish. So you drop the CD in, and it automatically boots into the live desktop, and Orca is already running. So from there, they use RemasterSys to build the ISO image. So from there, you would go to the system menu, and you'd click on install to hard drive, or I don't remember exactly what it's called, but you'd click on that, and from there, it walks you through the whole installation. You know, choose your password, what's the name of your computer, choose the date and time, how do you want to partition it. It's the same exact installation that a sighted person would use in Ubuntu, except Orca walks you, reads you through the installation. And so a completely blind person could install Vinix on their own, no problem, from start to finish. And once they reboot, then, you go into the GDM, you log in, and Orca's already up and running, and then you're ready to go.
Okay, well, how does Vinix handle its installation pre-install? Like, You know, every distribution, either you have to download it, burn it to a CD, whatever. Do they actually, can you buy a Vinix CD or whatever, or order one or something like that? I mean, you know, accessibility for a blind person seems to me it starts even before you put the disc in the drive and start to install it. You know what I mean? They should make it easy for you to get the media.
Yeah, they. I mean, if you go to the, I think it's vinix.co.uk, because the creator of Vinix, the main guy, his name is Tony Sales, and he lives in the UK, so that's why it's a .co.uk site. But, yeah, I mean, it's just like any other distro. You would just, you know, download the ISO, and, you know, you'd have to burn it, and, you know, just like any other distro. But they also, there's also someone on the Vinix team who builds virtual images. So if someone's using Windows and they want to try out Vinix, I can't remember the whole process, but it's really cool what he does. Like, you download this whole package and you unzip it, and then you install, I think he uses VMware Player, so it'll install VMware Player for you and then launch the Vinix ISO already, and you don't have to, you know, install anything, and it, you know, you can, the blind person can basically play with Vinix inside their Windows system.
I've actually done a Talking Arch install in a virtual machine just to see what it was like. I mean, clearly I don't need it, but I wanted to see if it was what I thought might be usable as far as a non-sighted person, you know, doing it. It seemed pretty reasonable. Yeah. How does Vinix stack up? I mean, do you like it?
I like what they stand for and what they're trying to do, but I was using it for a while, but I've switched. I'm kind of a hardcore Slackware user, and I'm also moving over to Debian now too. You know, Vinix, like I said, is based off of Ubuntu, and Vinix has a pretty good mailing list and stuff. The community is growing there, and I've been voicing my opinion on how I think Vinix should switch over to Debian. I think there's no need to build off of Ubuntu, since Ubuntu uses like 85% of Debian packages anyways, and I figured we'd be better off going straight to the source than Ubuntu, especially with this whole Unity debacle that Ubuntu's doing. I mean, I think Vinix is going to be making their work much harder than it needs to be if they stick with using Ubuntu, and I'll continue to support them, and you know, I still recommend it to blind users that are new to Linux or even, you know, don't want to get too deep into it. I still recommend it by myself. Not going to run it anymore.
Well, okay. That right there was something that would jumped up at me, is that this new Unity desktop. I've taken a look at it, and it's very visual.
Yeah. Well, I installed the Alpha 3 the other day, and it doesn't work at all. So,
yeah, it was one of the alphas I was looking at, but I can imagine that it'd give the accessibility stuff a really hard time.
Yeah.
I don't know. In fact, it reminds me of my cell phone, because the actual upfront interface looks very similar to the interface on my cell phone.
Yeah.
Well, here's something. Let me give this a little bit of fair time. Have you actually tried to or had to install Windows as a blind person?
You can't. It's impossible.
Yeah. Okay. I was just wondering about that.
Not by yourself, anyways.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And of course, most Linux distributions would be the same. So, how do you go about installing Slackware?
Well, I'm blessed with having an awesome wife, and she helps me out with that. So.
Okay, so even the distribution that you like isn't technically accessible. You have to have somebody else do the installation for you. And then, of course, once you get to the point where you have Orca available, then everything's available to you. But
yeah, I mean, Slackware is pretty easy to install anyways. It's everything happens after everything's said and done anyways, the whole configuring everything. So it's not too big of a deal to get that installed. But Slackware actually does include a speak up kernel on their DVD, and I just stumbled across this the other day. I might actually try installing it this way just to see how well it works. But when you drop the Slackware DVD in, it one of the first screens that comes up, it asks like, what kernel do you want to use? And I think if you type in speak up or speak up dash kernel, it'll use the speak up kernel that has the speak up module in the kernel, and then it would basically talk me through the installation. So I don't know much about it yet. I just stumbled across it, so I'm definitely going to be checking that out.
Oh, that's really interesting. Actually, I just did a Google for that while you were talking about it, and yep, there it is. Apparently, if you type speak up, you get a speak up enabled kernel.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And they're one of very not many distributions that I – well, actually, you know what? I take that back. I think as of 2.6.37, I think all the kernels now are going to include the speak up module in it by default now. But for the longest time, no one included the speak up kernel by default. Slackware did, I think, from like day one, and they're the one that always have, but everyone else never included it.
Well, cool. Another mark in the plus column for Slackware. I'm not particularly fond of Slackware. I used it real early on when there was little else. But since then I've did my time with Red Hat and now moved over to Debian. But the reason I like Debian is because it's so flexible and it's still like NetBSD runs on architectures that everyone else has all but forgotten.
Yeah.
Slackware definitely apparently still has its benefits, which is really cool. I think we'll let Klaatu know that they have an installation procedure for blind individuals. That's fantastic.
Yeah, Slackware's got its ups and downs. I kind of ran to a wall the other day with it, but yeah, I like every distribution. It has its ups and downs. So
it was interesting for me to hear you say that you weren't terribly fond of Vinix, because I know it's a distribution designed specifically for blind people. There's another podcast that's out there. It used to be a satellite radio program called the Quick Learning Tech Show. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
No.
But they're now doing it as a podcast format, and one of the hosts, his name is Matt, and he's a ham radio operator too, KB7QLT. He is also blind, and I talked on their show. I went on their show a couple of years ago now, I think it was. I talked to him about Linux and everything, and they're moving over to Linux and talking about free software and all that kind of thing, and they were down on Vinix as well. They said they started out with it because it was the only distribution out there, targeted to the blind users, but they didn't particularly like it, just like apparently you don't.
Yeah, like I said, I would for me myself, I just, I fortunately can use something else. Like, I have like four separate hard drives for my notebook right now. I got Fedora, Slackware, Debian, and I think I do still have Vinix on one hard drive, because I like to see, because they do some cool things that, like I said, I'd recommend any blind user to use it that's new to Linux or maybe doesn't want to mess around with stuff or that doesn't have the help that I have to, install whatever they want at will. So it's definitely a good distribution. I just choose not to use it just because, sometimes I dig my heels in and I want to stand up for something, so...
Now, as Frostbite Systems is concerned, you will pre-install Linux on a desktop. But if someone who comes to you who is a blind user like yourself, do you recommend or not recommend Vinix? Or since you're going to be installing an OS on it anyway for the person in question, do you usually go with something else?
No, I'm going to stick with putting Vinix on, because like I said, it's still a good distribution, especially if, the blind person lives by themselves and, maybe they'll have to reinstall someday for whatever reason, or, the Vinix mailing list is really good. They got good support on the mailing list. So like I said, it's just my personal choice not to use it for me personally, but I would still recommend it to most blind users if, for multiple reasons.
Okay, well, just out of curiosity, before I let Richard jump back in here and talk about Orca some more, can you give maybe a reason or two that you think Vinix is a good distro, and a reason or two specifically that you don't particularly like it?
Okay, well, there's multiple reasons why it's good. A lot of the default packages that they include in it are pretty much all accessible, so you're not going to have to really worry about that. They pick and choose, closely what they include on the distro and what they don't. So that way, if someone's new to Linux, they don't have to muck around and figure out, is this accessible? Is this not accessible? So they do a good job at the package selection. Another cool thing that they do is almost any distro, they all have the 6-month release cycle. So if you're running Fedora 14, you might get incremental updates to Orca. But what Vinix does is they run their own repository. They have their own Vinix repository. So they push like any new Orca updates. So you're going to pretty much have the latest and greatest Orca no matter what version of Vinix you're running. So that's also a really cool feature that they do. Another cool thing that they do is they include SpeakUp in the kernel. So what happens is, say if you're using the GUI and you're moving around the desktop and you're doing something, and let's just say, not that this probably really happens anymore, but let's say for some reason X dies on you and you drop down to a terminal. Well, by default, SpeakUp will come up, and you can then try and figure out what's going on with your computer from SpeakUp from the terminal, and hopefully you can repair your system from SpeakUp and get the desktop to come back up. So those are some really cool features that Vinix does that, you know, any other distribution doesn't do by default. Granted, you can set them up to do that, but you have to know what you're doing, and you know you have to know how to set it up. So those are some of the cool things that Vinix does do, which I think is really cool. I would say the main reason why I don't use Vinix is because they're based off of Ubuntu. That's really the main reason why I don't want to use it, because I don't agree with what Ubuntu's doing. I think they're going to hurt the Linux community more than help it. And I really think Vinix is making their work out a lot harder for them if they're going to stick with using Ubuntu, because if they're switching over to using Unity, Ubuntu is not going to put any work into the GNOME desktop. Vinix is going to then have to rip out the Unity desktop, patch GNOME, or whatever they're going to have to do to make it work the way it should work, instead of this hack job that Ubuntu is going to do to GNOME. And I just think their work is going to be cut out for them if they stick with it. And I just think it would make everything much better if they moved over to Debian, again, for many reasons, because if whatever patches Vinix pushes to Debian is a very upstream distribution. So any patches that Vinix does to the GNOME desktop, to Orca, to even accessible applications, those fixes will get pushed to Debian, and then in turn will get pushed upstream, and then everyone benefits from the work that Vinix is doing instead of only Ubuntu benefiting, if you'd even want to say they're benefiting.
Yeah, I've talked about this on a couple of the past podcasts, and I use the term that other people like to use when they remove Windows from their life, using defenestrate. There isn't a nice Latin-based word for de-Ubuntuizing your life, but I have actually I have actually done that. I've gone completely back to Debian and Linux Mint Debian, and it would actually be nice to see Vinix choose a Debian base as well. I think that would be a smart path, considering the lunacy that is coming out of Canonical right now. And we've talked about, well, I've ranted and railed against the way Ubuntu is going right now. Really, the only reason I used Ubuntu in the first place is because it would run out of the box on a couple of machines I had that Debian had some issues with. Yeah. But those have since been resolved, and now I can install Debian again and Linux Mint Debian on everything. So Ubuntu is now gone from my life. I'm happy again.
So, yeah, there were talks on the Vinix mailing list to look at using Linux Mint Debian, which is fine by me. And, you know, any move is fine if to get off of Ubuntu. Like I said, if they weren't going down this path, I'd be fine with it. But it just doesn't make any sense to me. And, you know, I've voiced my opinion on the mailing list. And like I said, I still support Vinix, because I think what they're doing is awesome. So I would just like them to see that, go that one more inch or mile or however you want to put it, than just kind of to use a different base.
Yeah, I think were it me, I would have kind of done what Red Hat did, whereas if you're going to have a development test bed, you create another distribution. You know, maybe they have Ubuntu mainline and then Ubuntu Unity, and have it as two distributions, so that the people who are comfortable with what Ubuntu is can have what they want, and then if people want to go in a radically different direction, they can have something else without ruining, you know, all the work that's come before. Right. But I'm not Shuttleworth, and I don't have any say in that discussion. So why don't we bring Richard back into this, since I'm sure he's asleep at this point, and let him ask a question or two.
I got the noise gate turned up so you can't hear me snoring.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I could hear you.
I bet you can. Actually, the whole Ubuntu thing's got everybody in a lather. And part of the problem here is that the machines I use for mostly the podcast and my everyday use, they don't like Debian Mint. Well, they don't like Mint. For some reason, it makes them lock up. They will run Debian, but Debian, I would love to go back to Debian, but I need my flash player, and I can't get Ganache out without removing the whole desktop.
Yes, so, you can. I'll show you how.
Anyway, but let's back up a little bit. We do need to bring the amateur radio part in, because this is partially an amateur radio show. Also, we have a lot of sight impaired and blind hams that listen to our show. I know several of them here around my area and stuff. And I know if for those of those out there listening to the show that aren't, I'm sure they know at least one, because ham radio is real big about bringing in those that have accessibility issues, whether it's mobility issues, that kind of stuff. Mm. So let's back up a minute. You were on Vinix, and if somebody was, I know this is probably a difficult deal to try and figure out, but if somebody had been using Windows, blind user, because the Lighthouse here in Dallas, they do almost everybody's computers, and they always put Windows on them. If they were wanting to come over from Windows to Linux, and they didn't have somebody to assist them to do so, would something like Vinix be within the realm of possibility for them to get installed?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I said earlier, that Vinix is a completely accessible distribution from start to finish. So the second they drop the CD in, and as long as their computer is set to boot off the CD, it'll boot into a live session of Vinix. And right from there, you can click on the installation icon and start installing. It'll talk you right through the installation process. You know, create your username, create your password, choose the date and time. How do you want to partition it? You can even set up a dual boot from there, because it'll, you know, you can see, do you want to install side by side or do you want to use the whole hard drive? So yeah, they could install it exactly how they want to.
Yeah, just have to be smart enough to actually know what the computer's saying to them. I'm sure there's appliance operators on that end also. Have you had any experience, or know anybody who's had any experience running like some of the amateur radio software under Linux with Orca?
Unfortunately, I have not used any of the software, but I can tell you from my experience that if the application is a GTK framework, there's a very good chance that Orca is going to work with it. Okay. If the application is Qt, there's a very good chance it is not going to work, because the Qt framework is not accessible at all.
Right.
But since we're using Linux, though, there is power in the command line. And right. Almost every package that you're going to be using in a GNU Linux distribution, even though it's a GUI interface, 99% of the time, it's really running in the terminal anyways. So if the person was savvy enough to maybe find out what some of the switches are to use the stuff from the command line, even if you couldn't access it, if it's a Qt framework or whatever, you could still probably control it from the command line.
Well, there you go. One of our regulars that's in the chat room tonight is Ted, WA0EIR, and he's got several really good pieces of software which will handle digital operations over the radio, believe it or not. And I'm sure that they would run perfectly fine in some sort of screen reader, most especially Orca. Are you familiar with the Fastlight toolkit?
No, I don't think I've ever even heard of that.
Okay. The big piece of digital communication software, or it's basically a terminal program that's written with Fastlight toolkit. It's called FLDigi.
Okay.
And I've been trying to find out if that's something that these folks could use. It's pretty full featured, and you know, Ted's software, simpler is better sometimes. And Ted does good work. All his stuff is quality stuff, but on the front end, the for lack of a better word, the visual end, it's not overly done.
Okay. And, if he's running it in SSH and you do it from the command line, I'm pretty sure a blind user would be able to control it no problem from the terminal. Like I said, if you can access something from the terminal, a blind person can definitely, you know, use that software.
Like, yeah,
the only learning curve is, like I said, learning the switches and, you know, the different commands and stuff like that. But if you can access it from the terminal or SSH into something or whatever, then absolutely you could use it.
I bet Orca will spit a man page out in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can. I crank mine up to the fastest it can talk.
Yeah, I've got a friend here, Jim, that I was over at his house one day, and he was doing something for work, and I can't remember what it was. And he had screen reader running, and he was reading some documentation for work the next day, and I couldn't even understand it. It was going so fast.
Yeah, yeah, that's the reaction I get when people hear my computer. The first computer science class I had, the kids in my class were like, "Is that thing talk? Is that English?" And I was like, "Oh yeah." I'm like, "You understand what that's saying?" I'm like, "Yeah." And they were just like, "Man, that sounds like gibberish."
Yeah, and it's not as big a shock. It wasn't as big a shock to me. Well, after probably 25, 26 years old, because I lived with a deaf lady for about 2 years and noticed how different things were and how things were there. And then knowing Jim and a couple other blind hams, it goes by so fast. It like 21 word a minute code it at some point. Now, Ted tells us in the chat room that his stuff will run perfectly fine over SSH. So apparently I'm losing the ability to speak English too. But we got that covered. Let's see what Russ has got over on the Fastlight Toolkit.
Well, the Fastlight Toolkit, which I actually misread what I was going to read, is a C++ implementation which uses OpenGL and Glut. And there's nothing in that that indicates that it's GTK in any way. However, I was about to install FLDigi and Orca and see what happened.
Well, there you go. And again, even if the GUI part of it isn't accessible, if there's any sort of command line interface to that, you can absolutely control it.
Yeah, okay. Ted's telling us in the chat room that PSK31LX, which is one of the programs he has over there, runs just fine, command line and SSH. So, good. It's like I said, there's a lot of tools in there. One of the reasons we ended up being... I ended up running Ubuntu. I started on Mandrake, but I spent a lot of time with Debian and the Debian repositories. It's my understanding that the guy that started Debian was an amateur radio operator, so they always make sure that they have as much of the amateur radio applications in the repositories as possible and the newest versions of that kind of stuff and everything.
Okay, well, let me try this before we move on. Hold whatever question you got there.
Because
I've got a bunch of stuff on my desktop here, and if I fire up Orca, it might start reading the hell out of stuff. So,
no, it doesn't talk fast out of the box. It's actually pretty slow.
All right, let's see. Ooh, English, Scottish. Do we want to do Scottish speech? No, let me go ahead.
Seven is English.
Seven is English, huh? Yeah, it sure is. What's the default?
It's like a weird robotic English kind of thing.
All right, well, let me choose option seven. Okay. Let's see. Do I want to enable echo by word?
That's what I usually do.
Okay, well, let me turn that on. Enable key echo.
No, say no to that. That's annoying.
Yeah, and layout. Well, let's see. It's a desktop, so I guess we want that. No, I don't want Braille. No Braille monitor. No, I don't want to auto start.
Those are cool. You need one of them Braille monitors.
Yeah, I need them.
They're cool.
I don't think that'll help me out very much. I think that might slow down my productivity.
If you're like using the computer that you're loading this in, because you're going to have to log out and log back in order for Orca to start.
I'm not recording on the machine. I'm doing this, so.
Okay.
Do you want to log out now?
I wanted to warn you.
Yeah, let me go ahead and ask him another question.
Apple machine he's got.
Yeah, shut up. Let me go ahead and do this while you ask him another question.
One thing that I was going to mention, if you don't mind, is I do a podcast called This Week in Fedora, and I noticed actually doing some homework that they offer a ham radio version of Fedora. It's called like the ham radio spin. So it's like a version of Fedora specifically made for ham radio operators.
Let me flip my notepad over here. I'm kind of full. I'm always writing stuff down, and I have to have a pen that doesn't click because it annoys Russ when I pen.
Okay, well, I got Orca to start up, but of course, I probably have to fire up the.
You're gonna have to hit the insert key and space bar.
The insert key.
Oh wait, you didn't. You're gonna have to hit Alt F2 first.
Yeah.
And then type in Orca. And then that'll start it, because you told it not to start automatically.
Well, the thing is, I didn't reboot, which means it's probably looking for a... I started it up, and I've got the Orca screen reader up.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't reboot, which means it probably didn't start the kernel module.
Well, no, you just have to log out. You don't have to do an actual.
Well, I don't want to do that though, because the live stream is actually associated.
Oh, okay. That's why I was saying you're gonna. Yeah, you have to actually like log out and log back in.
I bet there's a way to circumvent that.
Yeah, you probably have to restart. I think it's Dbus. If you restart Dbus.
I restart Dbus. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me do that. Let's see.
Rebus the Dbus.
That's right. Dbus restart. Oh crap! That just restarted GDM anyway.
See, Russ went and broke it again.
Okay, well, everybody lost the live stream. Oh, boy. Thanks a lot, Jonathan.
Hey, no problem. That's what you keep me around for.
Well, you know what? While he's over there playing game, why don't you, you know, we've been dancing all the way around it, Jonathan. I think it's fair that we should, like, do some shameless promotion. So why don't you tell us about Frostbite Systems?
All right. Well, Frostbite Systems is a website that sells desktops and notebooks pre-installed with GNU Linux on it. You can get Ubuntu, Linux Mint, Open. No, I'm sorry. I take that back. Ubuntu, Linux Mint, Debian, and Fedora installed on the computers, and got a decent selection. And you, or you can even buy the computer with no operating system at all. And install Slackware, Arch Linux, Gentoo, whatever you want. Just don't install Windows. And whatever every purchase that's made from Frostbite Systems, whatever distribution is installed on that computer. So say if someone buys a Linux Mint computer, I take a portion of the proceeds and donate that money back to Linux Mint to help support their project and support their operating system.
Yes, and they are. I am always fascinated at how good they handle things over at Mint. Mint just amazes me the way things run over there. And now that they've got new guys running their podcast, it is really something. I think we donate to them regularly too. I don't remember, but yeah, I've been wanting. That's something else I've been wanting to get you on the show for, so we could, you know, talk about your situation over there. We not only have amateur radio operators listening to us, we've got Linux guys listening to us, people wanting to move over to Linux and everything else. And I think it'd come in real handy, because you have, well, it's getting better, but you have a real hard time finding machines that already have Linux pre-installed on them.
Yeah.
Mainly because there for a while, I don't know if you have, I doubt you would. We've got these electronic superstores called Fry's down here.
Yeah, I've heard of those. We don't have them over on this side, but
yeah, it's one of those places where they have every single thing electronic that was ever invented or thought about. And they were selling computers in there at one point, I guess probably 6-7 years ago, that for $200 that had Linux installed on them. And I walked in there and I found out later that it was just a really old version of Mandrake Linux that was on this machine. But I walked up, man, looked at it and went, oh my God, what's that? But it's come a long way since then. And it's nice to know that there's your company and a couple others out there that are pre-installing Linux on these machines. For people who are just not familiar with that kind of stuff, you know, there's a lot of people out there that can't even install Windows.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's no reason why Windows is so popular as it is. I mean, Gates figured out how to get every computer installed with it. And so, you know, if people had to install Windows, that wouldn't be popular either, you know? So it definitely one of the things that made Windows such a force in the market, because every computer you buy just comes with Windows automatically. So you don't have to install it. You just turn the computer on, bam, you're ready to go.
That's it. That's the exact argument I give when somebody says, well, you know, Internet Explorer is the number one browser. Well, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see if Russ has finished breaking stuff. Russ, are you finished breaking stuff?
No, I'm not finished breaking stuff yet. I actually have my computer back up since I had to reboot it.
Don't follow any of my instructions.
Yes, note to
Bill
self,
said he
don't
lost the feed momentarily, but everybody else said you were still up.
Oh, no, the feed's definitely down. I'm going to start it up here again. Oh, no, it's still up. Okay, it's up right now.
It is back now.
Yeah, it's up now. Okay,
yeah,
now
so
let
the
me
next
see.
Thing you need to do, Russ, is you grab a Slackware DVD. You put it in the... No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not listening to you anymore. This interview is over. No, I'm just kidding.
He's supposed to be running Debian over there.
I'm running Linux Mint Debian. That's close enough. Started that. Let me go ahead and start up Orca. And we'll do that. And then I'll start up FLDigi. and see what happens here. See what blows up.
Okay, here we go, everybody. The big test. Too bad Dave's not on here.
All right, here it is. Now it's up. Now how do I get this thing to read?
Do you hear Orca talking?
If I did, you would.
Okay.
So I've got speech here. Is there a way to test just to have it speak?
Well, I mean, if your speakers are up, you should hear it right now.
Well, I mean, I'm running through a mixing board, and there's definitely audio. Let me see if I got any audio whatsoever.
Russ got the one mute copy of Orca.
Yeah.
Okay, apply that.
My father has karma like that.
Let me see if I can hear anything at all. My Dropbox has gone away too. What have you done to me over here?
We haven't touched nothing. You messing it up all by yourself.
Well, that's because Jonathan told me to.
It's probably the dancing pterodactyl.
Of course it is. It always is. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm talking about that dancing pterodactyl that was in you. I think it was either the last show we did with video or the next to last show, the one that was dancing behind you during.
Oh, that's right. The Kleenex box. That was pretty cool. All right. All right. Let me get some audio here. Let me see if I can hear anything. All right. Can we hear this, for example? It says it's playing, but there's no audio.
Nope.
If Jonathan don't hear it, I imagine it don't be heard.
I wonder if Orca's like stealing all my audio. Let me try this here.
No, I shouldn't. I mean, if you have Pulse Audio installed, which if you have Mint installed, you probably do. So,
yeah, let me go in and see what's wrong with my sound preferences now, since everything's gone to hell in a handbasket over here.
It's that damn Apple.
Okay, it says there are no audio devices. What the hell? I have no audio devices.
I think we really need to deserve this, and he can go ahead and badger me if he wants to. But Russ have done broke some
badger.
It wasn't me. I was going on the advice of another person.
Oh, you're going to blame the blind guy. Is that it?
That's exactly
Jonathan
what I'm doing.
Thousands of miles away, and he could not have touched your machine.
He told me to restart D-Bus, and that screwed everything up.
Well, I was trying to get you not to have to log out, but I didn't know D-Bus was going to by default log you out.
Well, I don't know. To get you to order a computer is what he's trying to do.
Yeah, I think you need a new computer, Ross. I think that thing's broken, man. You're in desperate need of a new computer.
That's right. And the best place I know to go get one is a place called Frostbite Systems.
Well, okay.
I don't remember the URL, but I'm sure somebody in here does.
Yeah, it's frostbitesystems.com.
See, I knew that somebody would know.
I'm going to have to figure out what the hell's going on here, but everything's kind of broken. I assume everybody can still hear me in the feed or
are
us.
Are y'all
in the
there
feed.
In the chat room?
Yeah. But since we're talking about Frostbite Systems here, I've heard you talk about Frostbite and the stuff you do many, many times over on various podcasts. Are you at liberty to discuss the hardware that you get? What kind of stuff actually winds up in the machines you sell? Or is that, you know?
It's no secret sauce or anything. I mean, I just make sure that, you know, all of these systems are completely compatible. So that way, you know, when you purchase something from me, you know, you're not going to be like, oh, everything works except the Wi-Fi, or, oh, great, I have no sound, or, you know, especially with notebooks, I don't know if they are anymore, but even up until a few years ago, notebooks could still be pretty hit or miss, like, oh, the headphone jack doesn't work, or, you know, again, oh, my wireless card doesn't work because, you know, Dells and HPs and all them, we're using Broadcoms. So on all the notebooks, it's all Intel hardware, Intel wireless cards, you know, Intel motherboards, Intel processors. Intel is extremely compatible with Linux, so there's no problems there. The video cards and, you know, the wireless cards, the network cards, sound cards, everything is completely compatible. The desktops are the two out of the four that we sell are, again, strictly Intel hardware, except the highest end one uses a NVIDIA video card by default because the Core i7 processor does not have any onboard that motherboard and the chipset does not support any onboard video, which would be Intel, so I need to have a NVIDIA card in that system by default if people want video. So the two other desktops, the lower end ones, those use NVIDIA video cards by default because they're AMD processors, and AMD, well, I guess they make ATI cards now. Well, they don't make them, but they bought ATI. But these motherboards have NVIDIA video cards on them by default. But outside of that, I mean, everything works, and you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt when you get the computer, everything's going to work.
Well, that's good to know, I guess. But, you know, I've heard a lot of people who sort of do small-scale computer sales, particularly in the free software space, talk about the fact that you might want to buy from them. And I'm talking about people like Xareason and System 76 and stuff like that, because the quality of the hardware that they put in their systems tends to be higher, which is why you might choose them over somebody like Dell or somebody who basically just takes, you know, lowest bidder type hardware, throws it in a machine, sells it as cheap as they can.
Right.
So it's always good to put forth the idea that, you know, you're getting a quality piece of hardware, and that's why you may have to pay a little bit of a premium.
There's a lot of angles with that. I mean, first of all, the systems that I sell, and I'm sure Xareason and System 76, we, you know, obviously want to choose higher quality hardware. So, you know, the race to the bottom for us is A, impossible, and B, I don't want to race to the bottom because I don't want someone buying a laptop and a year later being like, wow, what a piece of crap this is, now I have to go buy another one. And when you have like the buying power that like Dell has or HP has, they can go to Intel and say, hey, we want to buy 750,000 of these processors. And then there's me knocking on the door saying like, I'd like two of these, please. You know, obviously Intel is going to be like, all right, HP, we're going to sell you these processors for considerably less than this guy over here. When I'm, you know, when you're buying onesie twosie stuff or even 100 at a time, you're still paying top dollar for hardware. So the race to the bottom is a lot harder for smaller guys like us because we don't have that buying power to drive the price of everything down. And I've seen people complain like, you know, oh well, you know, they're putting Linux on, the operating system's free. Why is the computer either the same price or maybe $50 more? And, you know, again, that's because these other larger corporations have more buying power, so they can drive the cost of their hardware down. But as far as like System 76, Xareason, or even us, or any other like smaller vendor, even if it's not a Linux vendor, we obviously aren't building these parts. Like, we're not building. I mean, even Dell and HP, Gateway, name them, Alienware. You know, none of these guys are building the processors. They're all Intel processors. Intel's building them. No one's building the motherboards. They're all Intel motherboards. You know, these guys aren't even building like the shells that the notebooks are in. Like, we're all really selling the same stuff, more or less. I mean, granted, the quality is going to be different from notebook to notebook or some manufacturer to manufacturer. But really, when you get down to it, we're really practically using all the same stuff.
All right. Well, you guys can continue talking while I uninstall Orca here.
Well, yeah, on the hardware issue, I understand completely. I used to be one of those people that went for the cheapest thing possible. But, you know, I found out over the years that if you want something to work right, you want something that's good quality, it's worth paying the extra money for it. I've been having a debate over this particular radio system that has people very divided, kind of like the Linux Windows argument goes on all the time. And, you know, the whole point is, yeah, it's more expensive, but it's a new technology and that kind of stuff. So sometimes you got to pay the money to have the stuff that works right. And I give Russ a hard time about his little Apple computer over there, but I'll tell you right now, if I could afford one, I'd have one.
Apple has definitely mastered the marketing angle, and if nothing else, their hardware is extremely sexy. I mean, you can't really deny that they have definitely got the aesthetic aspect of computing down to a T.
Well, I quit having sex with my computer after Leisure Suit Larry, and
well, welcome back to 1983, everybody.
But the thing about it is they put out a quality product, and this is not the Apple show. Klaatu, please don't hurt us. But the whole point is it's good quality hardware is what I'm looking at. I'm still pissed off at them about that BSD thing.
Yeah, but kind of back to the argument, even with Apple, granted, you know, I can't see their notebooks or their computers, so I don't appreciate, you know, what they look like. But if you look past that and you look at what's inside the box, Apple is using the same Intel processor that's in a Frostbite system. Apple's using Foxconn motherboards in their stuff instead. They're not even using Intel stuff for the motherboards. They're using Foxconn motherboards. So as far as the inside goes, they're using the same, you know, more or less hard drives like Western Digital, Seagate, whatever. They're using the same RAM like Crucial or whatever they're using for their RAM. I mean, all the hardware is exactly the same. So when you're paying for an Apple product, you're paying for literally just how it looks on the outside. You're not getting a better performing computer. You're not getting superior hardware because it's the same exact hardware you'd get in an Alienware, an HP, a System 76, a Frostbite system. It's all the same stuff on the inside.
Well, that's the same argument I put forth on the iPods. I haven't actually ever bought one. Well, I take it back. I bought my wife a Shuffle 1 year because she was interested in having one. But I've got three over here and didn't pay for them, probably wouldn't have paid for them. And I don't see much advantage except for the fact that the software that runs on one of the computers to load stuff on and off is a little better than what I can get my hands on in Linux than my Linux boxes and my 3 cents Eclipse. You know, and the clips were like a third of the price.
Oh, look, I have audio again. Hang on a second. Things are looking up.
Yeah, but
don't
am I still here?
Blame Orca.
Am I still here? Hello?
Yeah, you're still there.
I blame Linux Mint Debian.
I removed Orca and everything's back to normal.
I think it's Bill. It's always Bill.
Okay, now, but the real test is can I actually play some audio? So let me go ahead and try that before I get all too excited here about my audio working again.
And that's what we do here every other Tuesday night, folks. We come on in here, we tear
Badger
up, we fix it. We just have a heck of a good time. In fact, this show has been the light of my life for several years. In fact, down here where I'm at, we say more fun than shooting guns in the house. And this show is definitely more fun than shooting guns in the house.
Hear, hear.
Well, unfortunately, Jonathan, I don't actually need to buy new hardware, so
reinstall Orca. Reinstall Orca.
We were talking about different software or different hardware in different PCs, and I know that nowadays, at least as far as Apple is concerned, they're using the same hardware that other machines are as well. They didn't used to. I mean, they used to be based on the PPC architecture and stuff like that. But yes, they've all switched over to Intel and they're using Foxconn, which had that high mortality rate from suicide thing that they talked about not too long ago.
Excuse me?
Huh?
What are you talking about?
Well, you didn't hear about that?
No.
Are you aware of the Foxconn debacle, Jonathan?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to explain it to Richard? Since barely didn't hear about it.
I'm a radio operator. I don't keep up with this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, basically the Foxconn factories work their employees like to the bone. And there's been quite a few people there that have basically taken their life.
Oh, I've had jobs like that.
Well, apparently Foxconn breeds jobs like that. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do I sign up?
Well, all you have to do is move to China, I think. Yeah, that's all it takes.
First you need a plane ticket to Beijing. And then...
That's okay because Chinese women.
A one-way ticket.
Oh man, I should get the feed up. Hold on.
Yeah, they're probably wanting to hear what we're talking about.
Oh, we're ripping on Beijing. We definitely need the feed up.
Yeah, but some Chinese women are hot.
Oh no, I'll give you that. I'm definitely like the Asian persuasion,
especially the ass-kicking ones.
Let's see. Hold on.
That was one in that movie last night. It had Bruce Willis in it. What the heck was it called?
Okay, the feed should be back up.
Live Free or Die Hard.
Woohoo!
Can you hear us? Russ was like breaking stuff.
Yeah, I broke. I didn't break it for crying out loud.
Cheryl, Russ needs a new computer from Frostbite System.
I'm going to go over to Frostbite Systems and go see what system I would buy if I needed a new computer.
She's going to answer back. He can buy whatever he wants to. It's his money.
No, she will not. She'll be like, another computer? What the hell are you doing?
Right after he finishes.
It's for you.
Right after he finishes paying for my brand new truck and my bonbons.
She did just get a brand new truck.
And a boat.
No, that the boat was me. The truck was hers, though.
How are you going to drive a boat back and forth to Arkansas from Missouri?
Well, I'm not. I'm using the older truck.
But you had to have a boat.
I did have to have a boat. Boats are cool. Okay, a Frostbox 1000. Let's see. That's pretty competitive with Dell. Let's see. It's got 500 gig SATA drive, 7200 RPM, a DVD rewritable drive, surround sound audio, gigabit Ethernet, two USB 2.0 ports. What, no 3.0 yet?
Not on that system, no.
Oh, okay. But you do have systems that support USB 3?
Yeah, the Frostbox 4000. Actually, I don't think I changed it yet, but yeah, the Frostbox 4000 and 3000.
Okay, this one's got 2 gig of RAM, 800 megahertz front side bus. It has a NVIDIA chipset, AMD processor instead of Intel. The usual ports, a 350-watt power supply, and comes in at $349. That's definitely competitive.
Gigabit Ethernet.
Yeah, gigabit Ethernet.
My router'd burst into flames if I tried to put that through there.
Most of them actually have this self mechanism where they negotiate down to an acceptable rate before they burst into flame.
Yeah, but my
Badger
is crazy.
What, yours is going to try and negotiate up to a gigabit and then burst into flame?
Exactly, and then it'll call the food dog.
Oh, boy. All right, we were talking about Orca at one point.
We've gone far afield. It's just a lot of fun to have somebody on that's, like, interesting.
Oh, and somebody who, by the way, happens to know what they're talking about. If you listen about 20 minutes back when you started talking about Debian being an upstream distribution and 6-month release cycles and blah, 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 that's somebody who actually knows some stuff. Blah, 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 blah,
and it was automatic.
Yeah, automatic. So have we talked enough about Orca? Is there anything else we want to talk to Jonathan about? Or
is Russ done hating on Orca now?
Well, I don't hate on Orca. I'm hating on you for screwing up my computer.
No, you can't help it if you need a new computer from Frostbite Systems at frostbitesystems.com. Is that right, yep. Jonathan? Okay.
Yep.
Who makes
Write
the cases?
Write that down, Bill.
Who makes the cases, Jonathan?
They are mostly Inwin, and there's some Evercase.
Do any of them have cool LED light up type stuff?
I think the 4000 or 3000 has some stuff like that in it.
Russ,
you're really pushing that 4000. You want people to buy that $1,000 computer, don't you?
No, I have the same margins on everything, so it doesn't matter, you know, what someone gets. I'm not making more money if you buy the bigger one. That's for sure. You're just getting a better system.
Well, I'm looking at the 4000 now. I'm trying to see if it comes out in the wash better than that 349 system or 399 or whatever it was. 349, I guess.
Yeah.
Russ, some of us don't need lights and stuff.
I don't need lights and stuff either.
I think the sweet spot is the Frostbox 2000 because that has, it's an AMD quad core 3.2 gigahertz. It has 4 gigs of RAM, a 500 gig hard drive, and it's $500.
Yeah, well, the 4000 is a core i7. And you know what? I've never used a core processor, not an i3, an i5, or an i7. So that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I just sold a Frostbox 3000. And he upgraded it to the Core i5 2.4 gigahertz, and I installed Fedora on it, and it was the fastest installation I've ever seen in my life. It had to have been literally like under 10 minutes. It was ridiculous.
Oh, I've installed an operating system faster than that, but it was on an 8-core box with VMware, and installing that in a virtual machine went so fast I couldn't believe it was actually done.
Yeah, I believe it.
So, and then they boot so fast too. It's like, usually when I'm at work and when I reboot a system, I keep a constant ping on it, so I know when it comes back up. I mean, I rebooted one of these virtual machines on that 8-core box. It's an 8-core box with 16 gigs of RAM. I did a reboot on the machine and the ping literally didn't stop. I mean, it rebooted so fast, it didn't lose ping.
Man.
That is ridiculous. But these are kind of cool systems. I think everybody, I started out saying we should just talk about Orca and not let Jonathan go off on his business and all that kind of stuff. But people should definitely check out Frostbite Systems. So
Let me tell you something, Russ, my man.
Yeah.
You know damn good and well that I am the most narcissistic of podcast hosts and that I am a firm believer in shameless self-promotion. So if I got somebody on here, I think got a good product. They can have the whole hour if they want.
Oh, if you didn't think I was going to let Jonathan talk about his stuff, you're crazy. Oh,
and I got a defective pen over here. Let me see if I can.
Oh, you are clicking that pen too.
I thought you threw that one behind your computer.
No, I tried to make him do that, but I can actually hear it now. You were covering it up by talking, but put that thing away.
I had the other one up here clicking it, and you were catching it because it was making you stop. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Well, you are Jonathan. You talked about one podcast you do, but you also do your own. So why don't you talk about? Well, I guess the other one's yours too. But you do the one where you talk to people about different operating systems and stuff. So why don't you let everybody know about that as well?
Yeah, sure. The website is frostbitemedia.org. And I do three podcasts right now. One is called Frostcast, where I interview project leaders of different GNU Linux distributions or even free software projects. Like a few weeks ago, I interviewed the guy from Shotwell. I've interviewed the creator of Peppermint OS, Zenwalk, Salix. I interviewed John Mad Dog Hall. I interviewed... they're slipping my mind right now, but I've done about 34 episodes or so of that podcast. And then I do another one called This Week in Fedora, where I interview people within the Fedora community and we talk about projects that they're working on within Fedora or the people who work on GNOME in Fedora. Or I've interviewed the project leader when he was the project leader at the time, Paul Frields. I've interviewed the current project leader, Jared Smith, a couple times. People on the design team. I've interviewed Fab from Linux Outlaws on This Week in Fedora. And then the other podcast I do is This Week in Debian, which again is I interview people within the Debian community, and we discuss projects that they're working on, things that they do within Debian. I've interviewed Zach, the project leader, twice now, people who helped to create the new Debian website. I've interviewed George Castro from Ubuntu when we talked about Debian derivatives, which Ubuntu is one of those. So I do interviews like that within This Week in Debian. And those are the three podcasts I'm doing right now.
All right. Well, you have a busy schedule, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah.
So OrcaCast is resting?
Yeah, for right now. I'm going to be picking. I got a couple of interviews already done for it, but I kind of fell to the wayside and I got busy doing the other ones. So I'm going to be picking that one back up relatively soon.
Yeah, okay. We'll send people over there anyway so that they can get a new computer from Frostbite Systems at frostbitesystems.com. And they'll have newer and better stuff than Russ has got.
Maybe for the next OrcaCast, I'll interview Russ and have him give me his opinion on Orca.
Yeah, you can have him come on your show and break some stuff.
I tell you what, I would love to give you my opinion on Orca. The thing of it is, this is always happens in a live environment, though. Everything goes to hell when you're trying to do something on the fly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I've actually used Orca successfully in the past without any problems whatsoever. But, you know, this is the nature of the beast right here.
I told you he drinks a bit.
Don't give away all my secrets for crying out loud. And stop laughing, you schmuck.
I found out an interesting little factoid, and that's that the schmuck is the piece that they throw away.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then you're not a schmuck. I got to find a different Yiddish word for you then. Mensch? What's a mensch? Is that something we can call you?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm not Jewish.
You know, I answer to most anything most often. Hey, you fat guy.
Oh, let's see. Mensch actually means a person of integrity and honor. So yes, you are a mensch.
There you go.
I had a ethnic group here in town that used to refer to me as a wise guy.
Does that mean you're part of the mob?
Well, they were.
Okay. Well, you did broadcast from the basement of the Chinese Laundry for a couple of weeks.
Chinese Laundry, yes.
Now that seems kind of suspicious, now that I know you've talked with the mob.
And now I see why you want to work at Foxconn.
That was another life.
I think he actually owns Foxconn. I think that's what the deal is.
No, I want you to know that all my overworked, underpaid food deprived employees work at their dry cleaning store across the street.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much. In Texas someplace.
Okay. Well, there's about 3,000 ethnic jokes that aren't going to be told right now.
We can tell them, they can just be cut out.
No, I'm not going to bother with that. I'm just going to avoid the whole issue by not having to cut them.
You're a lot less fun since I quit drinking.
Oh boy. You drank a couple episodes ago. What happened?
Well, I haven't been able to afford any more.
Oh.
And she won't let me buy vodka. I'm on a vodka diet.
You mean a no vodka diet?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. All right, Jonathan, is there anything else you'd like to talk to us about since we've gone way far afield and completely forgot anything we were talking about 5 minutes ago?
Can we give you some podcasting tips? Can we tell you how to do a live show and break
Badger?
Oh, and Richard was talking over me. If you do that, you know, that Orca cast again and want to talk to me about Orca, you know, let me know, because I definitely will.
Yeah, definitely.
That would be kind of an interesting topic. It's like Orca and, you know, accessibility options, blind accessibility options for the sighted.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like something that would show up on like Second City TV or something, or Saturday Night Live. I don't know. All right, Richard, you got anything else for Jonathan?
No, I'm looking for a tissue.
Okay, because right now he's got an hour and 37 minutes of his life he'll never get back, so we probably should let him.
That's right. He probably hated every minute of it.
Oh, no, it was a blast.
All right. Well, we really appreciate it, Jonathan. It's been a pleasure talking to you in all seriousness, which we never really get around to. But anyway, I do hope everybody checks out your podcasts. I listen to them faithfully. And if you need a new computer, go to frostbitesystems.com. And you say your systems may be a little more expensive, but they're actually pretty price competitive for what you get. So I will definitely look that way next time I need another computer, even though I've got like 17 already.
What's 18?
Yeah. What's another one when you have 17? You know, I think Richard's got me trumped.
Make sure y'all check the show notes out there, because there'll be links to Frostbite Media and Frostbite systems in the show notes. And I'm sorry, y'all go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. But if you can do me one favor, try not to do another. Not you, Jonathan. Oh. If you can do me one favor, don't do another podcast for at least 6 hours. Okay. Is that okay? Can we have you all to ourselves for about 6 hours?
Yeah. I don't have any plans. Like I said, we can tell Richard how the daunting, grueling task he went through to get a hold of me. So
yeah, that's right. We'll tell him the story after the show. All right. Well, thanks very much. It's been a pleasure.
Hey, no problem. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate your time.
Jonathan, thank you, and hope to have you back pretty soon.
Yeah, anytime, definitely.
Okay, so now we've burned up all our time. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We had a really great interview tonight. If y'all want to find out more about Frostbite Systems, go over to frostbitesystems.com. If you want to check out Jonathan's podcast, go over to frostbitemedia.org. And check that out. And if you have any questions, send them all to Bill, because Bill is the answer man. So if you want to get a hold of me, you can contact me at kb5jbv@gmail.com, kb5jbv@gmail.com, or follow me on the whatever I've been telling y'all forever and a day. I think it's Identica, Twitter, and Facebook. You can leave me some information there. You can contact me there, friend me up, whatever you want to do. Just don't friend me up if you look too good, because I got a jealous wife. Anyway, with that, I'm going to turn it over to Russ and let him give you his information. Tell him about it, Russ.
Okay, you can contact me at all of the different social media sites on the internet, like Identica and Twitter and all that kind of stuff, using J.R. Woodman. I'm K5TUX over at 73s.org. You can email me at K5TUX@LHSpodcast.info. You can email the both of us at info@LHSpodcast.info, and that will make Richard happy. You can leave us a comment on the website. Check us out at lhspodcast.info. All of the information about our podcast and where you can link to the live feeds and all of that good type stuff is over there. You can leave us a voicemail at 417-200-4811. Option 3, I believe it is. Make sure you select the right one, and we'll put you on the air unless you tell us not to. Everything else, you just go to lhspodcast.info/4 and you'll find everything you need to know there, including when we're recording live, what events we're going to be at, and all of that good stuff. So check it out. And I guess we'll be back in the studio live in a couple of weeks. So from the Pine Forest between the peaks of North Central Arkansas, this is Russ, K5TUX, signing off. And Bill. Bill's in the chat room, but we'll let Richard sign off by saying...
Well, see, Russ knows that Bill was thinking about it because Bill wanted me to relay to y'all that you can hold all those queries because the generic answer is 42. And with that, we'll see y'all next time.
Oh, yeah. So, Richard, do you want to know the troubles that Russ had to go through to get a hold of me?
Well, I was being very quiet because if I'm very quiet when he thinks of something he didn't do during the show, he can always cut it out and stick it in somewhere. But I imagine it was probably at least one email.
No, I hopped in the IRC room today, the Oddcast Planet IRC room. I don't remember who I was talking. I think I was talking with Claude too and this other guy. And Russ popped in. He's like, "Hey, Frostbite, what's up?" And I was, "Oh, not much. Hey, when are we going to get the interview on our podcast?" I said, "Anytime." He said, "How about tonight?" I said, "What time?" They told him what time. I said, "All right, be there tonight."
That's why it showed up in the Etherpad while I was putting other stuff in. So,
yeah, you see how much of my life I invest in this show. I mean, do you see the effort I put in?
Hardest working man in podcasting.
That's right.
Right after Dave Yates.
Actually, I love anything that's easy. Do I recall correctly that you actually live in one of those Worcester burbs that begins with an S?
No, well, I live in Douglas.
Okay.
Yeah, I live close to Worcester, though, like 25 minutes away or so, 20 minutes or whatever.
So have you been? Close. So I've wanted to ask you this, and I'm going to screw it up, I know, but I'm going to ask anyway. Have you been to Chagagog, Manchagagog, Chabanagungamog?
No, but it's actually pretty close to where I am.
Yeah, I thought it might be. That's down in Webster, right?
Yeah,
I told y'all he'd been drinking.
No, that's a real place.
Yeah, no, it really is.
It's actually, they call it Lake Webster for short, but it's actually
it's
a real place.
It's an old Indian, name of the lake or whatever. Yeah, it's literally like, I think it every letter in the alphabet at least twice,
Yeah. That was one of the, when I lived there, that's one of the things you learn about. And it was it's either the lake or near the lake where, Henry David Thoreau did his stuff.
Yeah. Ooh. Yep.
Who?
Who?
Yeah. Henry David Thoreau. You've heard of him? Ralph Waldo Emerson? Those folks? No. No, but you sure know who Richard Harris is, don't you?
And I know who movie Orca.
And I know who H.P. Lovecraft is too.
All right.
Larry Niven. No, I know what you're talking about. I'm just being stupid. The book was Walden.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Walden Pond is somewhere near that ridiculously named lake. So.
Booga, mooga, booga, booga, booga.
It's Chagagog, Manchagagog, Chabanagungamog. I'm pretty sure that's close to right.
That actually is kind of close. Yeah. Much better than what I can do.
All right. Well, we're already 20 minutes in. Show's done. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for coming by this evening. Please send all your hate mail to Jonathan Nadeau.
No, send it up to link@thelinuxlink.net. Nadeau.
Jonathan Nadeau.
Nadeau, yeah.
Thanks for having me. I had a great time.
Yeah, it's been a real pleasure. We'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.
All right. We're a little bit more laid back over here.
Than who? Linux League Tech Show. I can tell you that right now.
Well, it could be worse. It could be the Bert and Ernie Show. See, I'm not the only one that calls them that.
You just have a hate on for Linux Action Show, don't you?
No, Brian, Chris, and I have this tremendous man love, and we try to fight it. We just fight it. That's where the badger comes in. Aspirin down. We'll be good in about 20 minutes on that. All right. Let's get this show on the road. Clear the barnacles.
Apparently everybody in the... oh, no, look. Bill posted the name. It's Chabanagungamog. That's it? I thought there was more to it than that.
That might not be the right one. There's a few of them.
Yeah, there's one that's got a lot more letters in it than that one.
Yeah.
Let me put in what I think it's spelled like, and Google will fix it for me.
That would be quite impressive if Google does fix that for you.
Yep, here it is. Lake Chargagog Agog. Okay, Chargagagog Manchagagog Chabanagungamog. I actually did have it right.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Why don't you highlight it, copy it, and paste it in the chat room?
And paste it in the chat room? I can do that.
Yeah, that's got to be like 24 letters.
I don't know how many letters it is. I can't do that real quick, but let me see. Okay,
Where them words come from? That ain't French.
There it is in the chat room.
No, that's Native American. That's Native American.
Yeah. I even know what it means.
My people never say
badger
like that.
You want to know what it means? I swear, I'm not looking this up, and I bet somebody could look it up and tell me if I'm correct. But I'm pretty sure.
I think I have a rough idea of what it is.
I'm pretty sure it means I fish on this side, you fish on your side or that side, and no one shall fish in the middle or something close to that.
That's what I believe it is too, yeah.
So if anybody else wants to take a crack at saying that word, go for it.
The Movulus one says you need to quit whining.
Am I whining?
She asked if you needed a glass of water and a tissue.
Oh, no, I'm not crying. Probably thinks I'm choking on it or something.
Yeah, really. I have to say that.
I told y'all. It's that 90 proof he's working on. The mackerel.
No, not mackerel. Chargagagog. No, never mind. All right, anytime you want to start, we can get off
of it. I was trying to start a while ago, and you got the, like, choking on something.
No, Bill posted it in the chat room. That's what, you know, started it all back up again.
Oh, okay.
Russ had to put it to rest.
That's right.
I can see, and I wonder how much of this will end up in the book of